Good morning. Okay, so as many of you know, my dad passed away last November, and I've been going back and forth between here in Texas to be with my mom and help take care of things down there throughout this year. And on the one hand, it has been a good year of sweet time with her and thankfulness for a job and a boss that have allowed me to do so much back and forth, and also for a husband who's been so supportive. On the other hand, it has been a challenging year of waiting and trusting the Lord when we can't see what he's doing. So following my first couple of trips down there at the beginning of the year, Mike and I seriously began talking and praying about whether we should move back to Texas to be closer to my mom. And pretty quickly, we both felt sure that it was the right thing to do and something we genuinely wanted to do. So our prayers shifted to, Lord, please make the path and the provision clear and show us if we're off track. So the very next night, our devotional reading was 1 Timothy 5, which says in verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And in verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. So that was our on-track confirmation. And also that same week, the door closed on a job up here that Mike had been in the running for. So those first couple of pieces were laying themselves out very quickly. And when we asked the elders and our small groups to pray with us, we received encouragement at every turn. And as others of you have joined in praying with us, I've particularly appreciated those of you who've already been down the path of aging parents, who said things like, you'll never regret doing this, and the time you spend with your mom, even when parts of it are hard. So we started the spring with hopes of being in Texas by mid or late summer. But we're now nearing the end of the year, and we're still here. So our challenge this year has not been if we should go, but when. How many pieces need to be together before we go? Does the Lord want us to wait and trust from up here a while longer, or to go and trust from down there? We said at the beginning that plan A was to move with Mike already having a job, but that since the real point was to be near my mom, at some point we would go on and move anyways and figure the rest out from down there. And Mike's been looking at various job opportunities throughout this year, but nothing has come together yet. So in the scriptures and in biographies of believers throughout history, we see that God doesn't just lead in one way. Sometimes he gives the full picture and all of the provision before the journey begins. Other times, he only gives a single piece, a step at a time, and leaves the rest shielded from view along the way. So which is to be the case for us? Every big decision is always a matter of seeking and waiting and trusting the Lord to guide, of not wanting to take matters into our own hands and force our own path, but also not being overly passive, waiting for the whole thing to just be plopped in our laps all tied up in a bow. And it can be hard to navigate that combination of both waiting and taking action. So those are the practical bits of this season of uncertainty, but I've been asked to share about my internal bits. So it has been a challenging year. I want to already be down there. And at times it's been a battle against discontentment and not understanding why the Lord hasn't provided what I think we need more quickly. There's been a different sort of heaviness in my heart this year. I know that some of that is just the normal, natural part of grieving, but there is also a persistent, why aren't you moving more quickly, Lord? So verse 6 of our passage, Peter commends those who do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And this prospect of moving isn't frightening in a scary sense, but many times the core of what's frightening is uncertainty, and there has certainly been lots of uncertainty for us this year. So what has helped me face that uncertainty? The most stabilizing thing is to continually come back to the character of God. He is great and good and does all things well. He is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He knows the end from the beginning, and nothing can thwart his plans. He is near to all who call on him. He is good to those who wait for him. All of those things are just as true when I feel satisfied as when I feel a yearning and longing. It has particularly been an up and down season for my prayer life. Some days my prayers are fervent and full, but other days, and more so as the time wears on, I feel more like I don't know what to pray for. I know the answer is not to stop praying, so my effort to be faithful in prayer becomes a simple, Lord, you know my heart and you know what we need. Help me to trust you and to be faithful. And verse 5 of our passage says, this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. Four is a connecting word. Sometimes it points forward, sometimes it points backwards, and sometimes it points both directions. And we see the forward pointing in the this is how by submitting. And there's a backwards pointing in the repetition of adorn. Because verse 4 said, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. In one aspect, I take this to indicate that a heart of submission is one of the practical expressions of a gentle and quiet internal spirit. So when my hope is in God to be who he has said that he is, that is the grounding for a quiet spirit that is not restless or tumultuous, but is submissive to Mike to lead our family through this, and submissive to the Lord to be the one governing all of it. So when my heart wants to be agitated and controlling, in distress, I have to keep coming back to my hope being fixed in the Lord. And the practical application of that to the thoughts that run around in my head is reminding myself that his love and grace are abounding, and that I can trust that he is at work doing good things even when I cannot yet see what they are. And I have been singing City of Lights, Goodness of Jesus, a lot this year. And it says, come, you weary heart, now to Jesus. Come, you anxious soul, now and see. There is perfect love and comfort in your tears. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Come find what this world cannot offer. Come and find your joy here complete. Taste the living water and never thirst again. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Come and find your hope now in Jesus. He is all he said he will be. Grace is overflowing from the Savior's heart. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfied, he is all that I need. May it be, come what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus. So while we wait and trust and hope for what lies ahead in Texas, I'm trying to be faithful here and to remember that he loves my mom more than I do, and he knows what is best for each of us individually and for us together. So, thank you.
Hi, for those of you who I haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Caitlin Sundin. I've been a member at Summit Woods for about 5.5 years. Today I'm going to share with you about singleness and some fears and anxieties I have had in relation to being single. For as long as I can remember, when people would ask me what I wanted to do or be when I grew up, my answer was always, I want to be a wife and a mom. It occurred to me that I might have to work for a while, but I always assumed that would be a holding place until I had babies and could stay home with them. I decided to go to Calvary Bible College, and a couple of well-meaning youth leaders consistently joked about the fact that I was going to Calvary Bridal College. They were joking, but it confirmed in my mind that when I graduated, I would have a husband. I did not. Singleness has been a journey for me, with many fears and tears, but by God's grace, much growth. There were some seasons in and post-college when many of my friends were getting married, and seasons that were hard as those same friends started families. There have also been sweet times of contentment and sweet gifts of this season. The struggle has ebbed and flowed for me through the years. I'm mostly going to focus on the past couple of years and some specific fears I have wrestled with more recently. A couple of years ago, I was coming up on my 28th birthday, living back at my parents' house because I had just started grad school, and I was feeling badly for myself and my situation. I had thoughts like, if only I was married, I wouldn't have to be back in school or back living at home, and what if I'm left behind and all my friends get married and own homes before me? These anxious and self-focused thoughts, among others, were becoming the refrain of my mind. And one Sunday afternoon, I felt very emotional and ended up crying in a friend's driveway. I told her I didn't know why, but I was just feeling really sad about singleness in my season of life. I wanted her to feel sorry for me and tell me I was justified in my feelings, but instead she comforted me and then asked some heart-probing questions like a good friend does. I don't remember all that we talked about that day, but I remember her asking me something along the lines of, "What unbelieving thoughts are you thinking about God that are causing these feelings?" I thought for a minute and realized I was believing God is not wise, that he was not doing what was best for me. I had never confronted the fact that when I believed there was something better, I was actually believing God cannot be trusted in his wisdom to do what is best for me. I really think this was a turning point for me. It was so helpful to come to the root of my unbelief that was causing so much anxiety and unrest in my heart. I repented from my unbelief and began to look for verses and resources about God's wisdom and sufficiency for me. Romans 11:33 was very stabilizing to my soul. It says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." God's wisdom and his purposes are far beyond what I can comprehend, and it is so stabilizing to rest in who he is. I am not wiser than God and could not come up with a better plan for my life than what he is revealing. Jerry Bridges wrote a great book called Trusting God that has been a wonderful resource for my life. I read it with a friend a while back, and the women's leadership team used it as a teaching and reference tool in recent years. Bridges said there are three essential truths that we must believe about God in order to trust him in hard times. They are: God is completely sovereign, God is infinite in wisdom, God is perfect in love. I can trust that God will wisely and lovingly do what is best for me, and that he has the power to bring it about. Two anxious thoughts that have begun to feel bigger and scarier in the past year or so are, what if I never get married, and what if I never get to be a mom? These have been and still are some of my deepest desires, and they are good desires, but I believe they would provide some satisfaction or fill something that was lacking in my life. I have made them idols. These often lead to other anxious thoughts about who will take care of me when I get old, how I will afford life on my own, who I will live with, etc. My Titus 2 group just finished going through Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul by Jim Berg, and that has been a very helpful study in recognizing these anxious thoughts and learning how to combat them. Berg teaches to track your thinking, not your feelings. I have heard this concept in sermons before and from other resources, but he breaks it down in a helpful and thorough way. I learned to identify anxious thoughts, stop these thoughts, and think on truth instead. It has really made me think about how I think about singleness and having children. I thought and sometimes still think that I need to be a wife and a mom, or I will be severely lacking something. At the root, I'm believing that God is not enough for me, and this discontent and lack of satisfaction in God causes anxiety in my heart. A passage that has really encouraged my heart is Psalm 34, specifically verses 8 through 10. It says this: "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." There is no lack of good things when I am seeking and following the Lord. I have had days where I just read this verse over and over because I need constant reminders that those who fear the Lord have no lack. And then I have to make an active choice to believe God's word over my feelings, because there are days when it feels like I'm experiencing lack, and it feels like being a wife and a mom would be better than being single. I can trust and believe God's word that says there is no lack in following the Lord, and that he works all things together for good for those who love him. Singleness has been a struggle for me, but it has also been a gift that has brought me closer to God and confronted idols in my heart, brought sweet, deep friendships into my life, brought sweet relationships with nieces and nephews and friends' kids that would be hard to maintain in the same way with a family of my own, an opportunity for a new teaching career when I graduate in just a few weeks, and many other sweet gifts. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you." It is easy for me to focus on the things I think are hard about my life and complain, but that's sinful and it doesn't lead anywhere good. I am learning to give thanks for all things, even when it's hard or it's not what I would have chosen for myself. God has used singleness to grow my faith in significant ways and help me to see that he is the only one who can satisfy no matter what my relationship status may be. I don't get to know the future, but I know who does, and I can rest in him. Your fear may not be singleness, whether or not you will get married, have kids, or have someone to care for you when you're old. I could share a lot of resources specific to singleness with you, and if you want those, please reach out. But the most helpful things in fighting my fear surrounding singleness, or any fear you may be facing, are the normal disciplines of the Christian life. Serving and being served in the local church, hearing and applying God's word week in and week out, studying God's word and praying each day, and living life with other believers in intentional ways so you can see and speak into their lives and we can see and speak into theirs. Titus 2 groups and growth groups are a great built-in way at Summit Woods to build deeper friendships. We are not meant to walk the Christian walk alone or bear our sin alone. Get involved and find people who will ask you hard, heartwarming questions when you show up crying about your anxieties in their driveway.
Good morning. I'm Victoria Whipple. You can call me Vicky if you like. I don't really care. My husband loves to call me Victoria because I'm the queen of his life anyway. Isn't this community wonderful? I just love it so much. And I'm not normally emotional, but this brings me to a place where you need to know that, if some of you may know, that my dad was with us here in Missouri, and he and I did not have a great relationship before he came, but God showed me the error of my way in that, and that I was called at that time to come and be a servant to my dad. Now I'm going to try and read this, forgive me. Thank you, Kelly, for your persistence in asking me to do this, because I would never. It's way out of my comfort zone. So we brought him from to Missouri from Arizona, where he lived in community, but by himself. My sisters and brother lived there, too. And they were all working and didn't have time to give him the care that he needed. He'd been failing and fallen several times living on his own. And since my siblings, who lived in the same area as him, were all younger than me and still working full-time, I decided to ask if Dad would be comfortable coming to Missouri and to be closer to me so that I could help him. He was very ready to do this, which surprised me totally, and arrangements were made, and we got him by airplane, and let me tell you, that was a trip, because he had to be in a wheelchair, and he had a lot of fear and anxiety himself. So once he was here, a week or two into it, it became clear to me that he needed far more help than any of us anticipated. Since Dad had no other financial income other than his meager monthly Social Security check, I also had to become a financial benefactor. Not only was he not as capable as we thought, he developed severe pain in his arm from carpal tunnel syndrome, we struggled with many health issues leading up to his surgery, such as cellulitis, which is wounds in the legs that are open. And I knew that there was no way that hospital was going to take him in if those weren't healed. So leading up to that, I was finding myself having to be with him at least 4 hours a day. And between doctor visits and becoming his nurse, and cooking for him, I was finding myself thinking that I had made a huge mistake. It was a great time constraint, I was away from home more than my husband wanted me to be, but he was a very good supporter in all of this. And he would complain about the facility he was in, complain about how I was not assertive enough to make the facility do what he wanted. He was in an assisted living place in the Fountains. And he would complain to my siblings about his lack of care. That made me anxious because I'm a people pleaser and I want everyone to think I'm perfect. And I am not. So I was afraid and anxious about the mistake that I had made. But I knew the words, "Do not be afraid," are found 365 times in the Bible, one time for each day of the year. And I knew that I am called by God to honor my Father, and that I know I believe in God. I just don't believe in Him. I believe Him, I mean. I believe Him when He says that, "Don't be afraid." So I earnestly prayed for my dad and asked God to be my strength and shield to help me honor my dad. And as with all things within a human's capability, I failed a lot. I prayed a lot. God would constantly answer my prayers for help almost as soon as the prayer was off my lips. My siblings were 100% behind me, and they did their best to support me and him from a distance. Finally, in August of 2022, it became apparent that he needed constant nursing care, and he was not going gently to the nursing home. I knew that. It was fun, no, not, to get him in there. But in September of 2022, I moved him to the Villages of Jackson Creek, an excellent facility, by the way. And this was the beginning of some of the worst months of my life and his. He was not behaving as he should. What I did not know fully understand was that he was not at all well, not able to think clearly or rationally, and was even less himself mentally than I thought. He cursed at the staff. He's not a cursing man. I never saw that before. It totally took me off guard because he's a believer. He was a believer, and he loved the Lord. He cursed at the staff, he threw things at people, and was experiencing hallucinations. In general, making everyone's job even less enjoyable than they already were. And I was tempted to be anxious and fearful. Had I done the wrong thing in moving him? Was I not caring enough? But the Lord, being a faithful Father, answered my prayers continually every day. Eventually, one of the nurses suggested that I think about calling in extra hospice care. From February of 2023, when hospice was called in until the middle of April, he failed steadily, had really bad behavior, and not sleeping at all. Finally, in the middle of April, he was starting to sleep more, be a little more passive. On May 3rd, a Saturday, Dad slipped away to be with the Lord forever quietly, right after I arrived to spend some time with him that day. I was sitting next to him as I always did. He slept in a big chair that rolled back, you know, it was electric chair. It would lift him up and it would go back. And he was sitting upright, and I was sitting next to him in his walker. I'd sit in his walker. He had one of those you could sit in. And just kind of piddling around on my cell phone. And he just slipped away. No anxiety, no fear for him anymore. And I didn't even know he had gone. My job was completed. I thanked God for his goodness. And I know that God was with us both. And he helped me walk him home, which I never thought I would do. I take comfort in this passage of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will look in on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will need tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely high because he has known my name, that's God's name. He will call upon me, God, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him, and let him see my salvation. And to all of those good friends who ever asked me about my dad and I unloaded, I apologize, but you were my community, and I needed you. And I thank God for each and every one of you.
Thank you, ladies, so much for sharing. I appreciate you all very much. We're going to take a break now, so you can get up and stretch. And there is some coffee and water bottles in the fellowship hall, and we'll meet back here at 10:45. So we'll see you in a little bit.